85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Into the hump day edition, the Wednesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Made it through September, October 1. Hopefully the weather starts to cool off and we can start building fires at night here, maybe later on here in October. Well, it's actually kind of nice out there this morning. 205-342-9904 is the phone number. If you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning, you got the Vanderbilt Commodores coming to town, 2:30 kick. Johnny Manziel's coming to town. That's stirring up a lot of people around here. What is the big deal if Johnny Manziel's coming? Why people are so upset about that? But anyway, Johnny Manziel will be in town supposedly, and supposedly on the Vanderbilt sideline. Really, who cares? Not that big of a deal. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. You got Coach's Show tonight. You can listen to that if you're not here in the Tuscaloosa area. So get that app on your smartphone. Also, if you want to email us, you can do that, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. One thing I don't understand about baseball, they play all year, 162 games. They got a wild card round now chasing Dad. And it's best 2 out of 3. So if you're the higher seed, you get to play all your games at home. So you played 162 games to get in the playoffs, and you don't even get a home game. So game 2 of those series will be today, starting at noon. But I don't know, understand why they don't play 3 out of 5. What's the rush? We just win 162, so let's let these teams at least get one home game. But nope, not in this format. Good morning, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. Most of the time, percentage-wise, the teams who win the first games usually end up winning. A short series is not worth a hoot after you play as many games.
Yeah.
As mentioned, you just don't. You don't do it like that. Anyway, Detroit beat Cleveland. They've already beat Boston, beat New York. Dodgers beat Cincinnati, and Cubs won. That's what happened, and we'll continue to see that today. Deion to the SEC, to me, is a joke. Deion goes to Colorado because he's a minority. They pour in the money because of that. Colorado gets completely healed football-wise and money-spending-wise. As far as running a program with a lot of, I would say, organization, I don't think he does. I think he'd be a misfit in the SEC. Some other people might disagree, but I think he's probably where he needs to be. And Colorado has never had great football, never will. He'll never bring it there to the point that they're really great. UCLA lost the offensive coordinator. Most of you know they had fired the head football coach a few weeks ago. Linebacker at Alabama is out. Rusall is out for an indefinite period of time. Patino fired his football staff. We mentioned that yesterday. I would like to see him get the job. I think he made a mistake, but I wouldn't mind seeing him come back in here. I think he's a very good play caller. They're looking at the guy from SMU as well. In basketball, the point guard, who's supposedly number 7 in the country, is going to, or has committed to Kansas, so I guess that's where he's going to go. Florida gets 7 against Texas, and Georgia has to give Kentucky 20.5, and Vanderbilt gets 10.5 against Alabama. These could be a little bit different. I got them off one. Bainbury gets them off another, so it could be wrong. And Mississippi State gets 14 against A&M. Interesting to me that North Carolina gets only 14 against, I guess that's about right, since Clemson that lose to get 14 against Clemson. Not great. If you were to tell me that all the years I was at Alabama, the Vanderbilt-Alabama game was going to be a big game, I would have laughed at you. But it is a very big game based on what happened last year, based on Vanderbilt's play, based on them having enough ego, not letting the ego bother them to come in and bring in the offensive coordinator and head coach and so forth, quarterback to play. So I got to give Vanderbilt a lot of credit. Alabama better come in ready to play. I'm sure they will. I'm not sure of anything, but I would assume they would. But it's an okay schedule this week, of course, but not great. So Texas and Florida, kind of a little bit interesting. State at A&M is okay. So anyway, we open up the phone lines for you to call us, give us any information that you feel needs to be said about Alabama football. They're on a high note right now. Great win against Georgia. Certainly puts them in the top 10, and it's a long way to go. So we'll see what happens. That's all I have.
All right. The baseball today should be 2 road teams, 1, 2 home teams, 1. I wish that was 3 out of 5, though. I love watching baseball.
I can't
man,
get into it.
These pitchers are so good. Oh, my goodness.
Cleveland has no ball. Cleveland has no ball.
That guy they face is big time. Nobody does against him.
No,
so that kid that pitched last night for Boston to close it out. How about he gets it's 3-1. The Yankees get the bases loaded and with no outs, and he gets a fly ball and 2 strikeouts.
Speaking of that, personally, between you and I, need to help me get to see Jack pitch at 5 o'clock.
Well, it's not 5. I don't know. I think the game's at 6:30, so I'll let you know. I'm double-checking that. But he says 5, but the schedule says they play at 6:30, and the schedule's right in him. So, all right, let's get to the Yellowwood hotline, and we'll get AC in. Good morning, AC.
Hey, good morning, sir. How you guys doing? Thank you so much for taking my call.
We're good, buddy. How are you?
Well, I'm blessed to be alive, man. Appreciate you for taking my call. I'm going to talk about football. So since you guys are talking about baseball, so who's winning the World Series, guys?
Dad, who you got winning the World Series?
Oh, I would probably say that the team that's playing the best right now of everybody is the Yankees. I'm not a Yankee fan.
So you want the Yankees? Okay. What about?
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't answer your question for sure.
You know, here's the thing. You see those teams that get a bye, you know, they always sit there and they're not playing. They're off this week. And they'll play Friday, I guess, when these things end up. I probably would take the go with the Phillies this year.
What about brother Chase? Then I'm going to give you my pick, and then I'm going to get to football.
All right. Chase, who you got winning it all in baseball?
Honestly, I'm probably going with the Phillies, too. They're getting hot, especially with Schwarber playing
all right.
Pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with the back-to-back champion. It's going to be the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You could be right.
Now I'm going to give you a bold prediction. Whoever wins the Yankees and the Red Sox series, they're going to play the Blue Jays. They're going to beat the Blue Jays. Either they're going to sweep them or they're going to win 5 games. That's my bold prediction. Now, let's get to football. You know what I don't like? Miami and Florida State, they're playing at 7:30. That game should be at 3:30. Vanderbilt and Alabama should be at 7:30. So you would have more viewers. That's my opinion. Because it's all about the dollars. It's all about the rating. From a business standpoint, that game should be prime time. Now, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to stick with what I said last night on Mr. Fowler's show. I'm going to go with Vanderbilt upset. Well, I don't know if it's not an upset, but either way, 41 41-37. The reason I say 41-37 is because I don't think either team is going to play good, great defense or even good defense. So it's going to be high-scoring game. That's number one. And Diego, he is not Gunnar Stockton. We know that. We accomplished that last week. So it's going to be 41-37. You're going to see a lot of offensive plays. And I would not be surprised if the game goes to overtime. Only thing, like I said, I'm going to hang up by saying this. The game should be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and I don't know why they do things. I mean, the game is hyped up more than mine in Florida State. It's obvious, right? Thank you so much for taking my call. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, they're both on ABC. I think they probably were thinking Florida State would win, and they'd be undefeated. Miami would be undefeated, and they're not. I wish it was a night game as well, AC. So I sometimes I don't agree with you, but I actually do agree with you there. And we'll see about the baseball. I don't know. Yankees, they may not get out of this series. They're down 1-0, but it'll be hard to close the Yankees out in New York. Two-minute truck, they're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take the stress away from moving. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. Two-minute truck, movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Following a public hearing last night, the Tuscaloosa City Council voted not to revoke the business license of Guns and Ammo LLC owner John Wakefield. He was arrested in August on 26 counts of violating the city's secondhand ordinance by selling and buying stolen guns, which has been denied by Wakefield. Councilwoman Raven Howard was the lone vote in favor of revocation. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free. Don Hartley, Townsquare Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We move at posted speed on your hump day Wednesday. Continuing this, now the intersections here, the popular ones, you know where they are, Lurline, Wallace, and McFarland. That's starting to thicken up a bit. Also, 43 southbound onto McFarland is tightening up with traffic. A little sluggish back to...
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. A small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 88. The low tonight, 63. Tomorrow and Friday, sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. All right, do the Yellowwood hotline. Bring Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Very good. Good morning, Coach. Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
We're good. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Good. Coach, did ESPN call you?
Did ESPN call me?
Yes, no. I called them Monday, and I suggested that they get you for the guest picker.
No, I didn't hear from them. I don't think Reese Davis cares for me much.
Oh, that's not
they
true.
They made fun of me and hung up on me.
Who'd they get?
I don't know. I it was early. I thought, you know what?
How did they make fun of you?
Well, they go, we don't take phone calls on guest pictures. I said, maybe you should. You ought to break precedent. And listen to the people for a change. And
I would love to have done that. I
thought it was a great idea. What's it going to hurt to call just because they're some kind of big corporation, can people not call in? That was one thing I said to them. I said, you fool, I've been watching the ESPN for years. Why can't you listen to my suggestion? They hung up.
Who'd you talk to?
I thought it was a great idea.
Who'd you talk to?
I thought it was a great Hell, I don't know. I talked to whoever answered.
I mean, what did you look up? ESPN?
Just called I appreciate you. I appreciate you making it.
Well, I mean, think about it. For years, they came in here and broadcast your basketball game. For years.
Yeah.
They made money off the player pilot. Tell me I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
Well, Plaid Palace was.
What's wrong with my idea? I got so daggum mad at those idiots.
I
thought it was a good idea.
Who do you think's going to be the guest pick? Are they? Who do you think's going to be it?
Oh, I don't know. You know what? They treated me so rudely. I'm not going to watch.
They'll probably lean on Nick Saban to name the guest picker.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just guessing, Tom. I just think it they might lean on him. I think Reese won't do anything until he checks with Coach about that, because Coach is at home. But that's what I think, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, but I thought it was a great idea. But anyway, the baseball last night. You know, I didn't know this. I wanted to see if y'all knew this. Red Sox have beat the Yankees 3 out of the last 4 series in playoffs. Don't know that?
I did not.
That's pretty dang good.
Yeah. To hold the Yankees to 1 run at home in the playoffs?
I know, and they were peacocking. They were prancing around last week. Oh, we're the best team in baseball. You shouldn't have done that.
That was fun. Playoff baseball is the best. Playoff baseball.
I love playoff baseball. I love playoff basketball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just another level, but. Barry, did you notice the expression on those young people's faces that played for Boston last night? They were defiant of everything in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
I thought, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good. And that picture, I said, my wife, she watches playoff baseball too. She likes it in the World Series. She said, who is this?
The pitcher for Boston?
Yeah.
Where's
going?
How about that guy that came in and closed it? Ooh.
Yeah. Bases loaded.
Yeah. It's a little pressure there. Yeah, bases loaded, no outs, and you get out of it. So.
And you're in Yankee Stadium on top of that?
I mean, he went from throwing 95 to 101. He was juiced up there, Tom.
I agree. Great game, though. I enjoyed it. And but, Coach, I tried, and I thought it was a great idea. And I guess everybody in the world will poo-poo me and my idea.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate
y'all
it.
Y'all have a great day.
All right. Where does Tom work? He got a lot of noise in the background, but he enjoys it when he gets in the car. All right, Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
Good morning. I think Tom's idea is a great idea. I think that would be a great idea for a guest picker is our coach, Wimp Sanderson.
There you go.
So I appreciate that, y'all. What they need to do is have you and Tom on, because y'all know more about it.
Maybe he's going to be the guest picker, and he can't tell us, Philip. Maybe he is the guest picker. They picked him up. Everybody's pushing James Spann. Does anybody, the people in across the country know who James Spann is, other than if you're in Alabama? Yeah.
I have a feeling, Philip, that they'll lean on Nick Saban as to who they should get. He won't admit it, but I think that's what they'll do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah, he'll have an easy day. He'll just drive from his house over there and just chill out and do the games and do the game day and all.
Philip, he's making big money on that.
He's making some bank, isn't he, Wimp?
Yeah, he is. He's making not only the thing he does with Dion from Colorado. He's making. I'll let you get on. I'll hush. But he's making a pile of money.
Did y'all notice the other day? Y'all may not have. I just happened to catch it. I was watching the game on TV Saturday night, and there was a Mercedes-Benz commercial that just showed the cars, the luxury Mercedes-Benz, and there was a voice, you know, had a voice to the commercial, but you never saw the voice. That was Coach Saban.
Really? No, I didn't see that.
Can you imagine, Philip, having a Mercedes deal right between Tuscaloosa and Birmingham? I mean, a whole factory there, and your head football coach have a Mercedes automobile agency. Isn't that unbelievable? Those two together.
It is. So, and you know, I like the logo we've got on the field now. The building, I think it's U.S. Navy is paying Alabama to advertise that, which is great. But I've never quite understood why we didn't do more with the Mercedes-Benz logo at Bryant-Denny Stadium. I felt like it'd be a natural fit, and maybe they've approached them. Maybe they're working on something. I think it'd be a good thing to say.
He is living large,
and I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Philip, is that Alabama going to beat the line on Vanderbilt 20.5?
You know what? That line on this Vanderbilt.
10.5.
I'm sorry. Is 10 and a half? Pardon me. Pardon me.
Is Alabama? No, I don't think they are.
Okay. I'm picking
Alabama to win. I think it's going to be a really close ball game down to the wire. It's gonna be. I'm gonna be on the edge of my seat. I think I'm gonna go over. And Barry, would love to have you.
Say it again.
I think I'm gonna go over. Are you gonna be on the quad again this time?
Yeah, we should be. We should be down at the quad. So message me.
Well, I'd like to. I will. I'll try to do that. But should be a great game, and a lot of interesting things developing with coaches on down the line. Especially, I heard some rumors swirling yesterday on the internet about Coach Freeze. I don't know if you saw the same thing I saw or not.
Yeah, I did too. And Georgia game's not going to help that any.
What were the rumors?
That he's not going to be on the sideline for the Georgia game.
Oh, why?
I don't know. It's like I say, it's just something I saw on X yesterday, and but picked up a little steam. But I checked with some people.
I mean, meaning he's going to not be coaching there anymore. He's sick. What do we mean?
That's what I don't know. I'll try to find the post and send it to you.
I just don't like when people post all these things that aren't true. Some guy's posting a fake account that Nussmeier's out for the year. Like, do people really have that much time to post stupid stuff that's not true? And I don't know about the Hugh Freeze thing, but so much fake stuff. I get my mother-in-law will send me stuff all the time, and I'll have to send it back and say, that's not real. So she's like, oh. And then the other day she sent me the Bruce Pearl thing. I said, now, that is real. That one is real. Yeah.
Who do y'all think is going to get that Arkansas job?
I think the guy from SMU has the best chance right now.
I don't know that Arkansas is a better job than SMU.
I'm not saying it is, but it's an SEC job. That's big for people.
I'll tell you who I hope doesn't get it. Bobby Petrino.
I don't think he's going to get it.
I can't stand Bobby Petrino. There's no way. I don't know. They're trying to – I think they're going to give him a chance. If he does well, they'll have to – they'll keep him.
I thought the amazing thing in that deal that they gave him permission to fire the – defensive people.
Yeah, because you got to pay them. You got to pay those people out, and
That's the point I'm making. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you coaches a coaching question on this football game. And if I'd love to hear both of your response. I think Alabama has to have a spy on Pavia the whole game. But it doesn't have to be just – I mean, you can alternate. You can throw different people in there Kirkpatrick would be good. Bray would be good. And I think maybe that QB Reese, I think you do need to put a 100% spy on Pavia.
I mean, I'm going to let the coaches decide all that. I don't know enough about it to say whether you should or you shouldn't. But when I hear guys like Roman Harper – talk about Pavia and how good he is, that gets my attention, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And this Vanderbilt team, he was very high on this Vanderbilt team. So he's basically saying, Bama better not be sleeping, or he'd be walking down there with a loss. So I'm not saying they will be sleeping, but I'm just saying.
Is he an option quarterback, or that he takes it himself as an option to give it back? Is he more of an option quarterback?
I would say, yeah, he can run it.
Yeah, he can move. He can, yes, sir.
Yeah, so they call him. They compare him to Manziel, so
mm-hmm.
Manziel could run it. So, all right, Philip, we got to get to Kevin. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, enjoy.
All right, guys, tomorrow now we got a great deal for you. Somehow between now and then, Chase and I got to come up with a trivia question because we're giving away a tailgate giveaway special from Thomas Rib Shack. So we're going to give you a question. We'll give people time to answer. We'll have a drawing there at the end. We'll do it probably around 7:30, do the drawing at the end of the show. You're going to get 2 slabs of ribs, 2 pounds of pork, 2 family sides, peach cobbler, and a gallon of sweet tea. Your sides can be, and Dad can vouch for this, fried okra, the best, French fries, potato salad, and mac and cheese. And so that is the tailgate special from Thomas Rib Shack. I also suggest you get by there for lunch today. Hot vegetables, you like soul food, you like pork chops, you like chicken, you like fish. They got great fish there, and obviously the barbecue is outstanding. Where are they located? It's 2931 15th Street right there in Tuscaloosa. Give them a call, 205-759-5010 if you want to get a tailgate set up for this Saturday for the quad or wherever you're tailgating. Thomas Rib Shack, you listen to Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We move at posted speed on your hump day Wednesday. Continuing this, now the intersections here, the popular ones, you know where they are, Lurleen Wallace and McFarland. That's starting to thicken up a bit. Also, 43 southbound onto McFarland is tightening up with traffic. A little sluggish back to Eleanor Street.
Quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
All right, we want to thank Yellowwood pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Kevin normally joins us on Tuesday, but he had a conflict. But I enjoy his segment so much, I begged him to be on Wednesday, and he agreed. So I appreciate him taking time to be on with us this morning with the Birmingham News. He's got his own podcast as well, and he'll talk about all that in the segment. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin.
Good morning. Yeah, I spoke yesterday to the River Region Quarterback Club in Montgomery yesterday morning. Had a good visit with them. But you didn't have to twist my arm, Barry, to join you today. I enjoy our visits as well.
All right. You know, Auburn's lost to two highly ranked teams. Now, offensively against A&M, they weren't very good, to be quite honest with you. Maybe that's why everybody's panicking so much. Where is this Auburn program? How is this quarterback as good as they thought? Where's Hugh Freeze with the Auburn fan? If you were down in Montgomery, then you're around a lot of Auburn people yesterday. And then you got Georgia coming in at night next week. Just where is everything around Auburn football right now?
It's interesting that you ask particularly one of those questions, where is the fan base?
Yeah.
And I talked to some Auburn folks in Montgomery yesterday. And one of them said a really interesting thing to me that I've started to observe, that the fan base seems to have turned. And it's hard to know what percentage of the fan base this entails. Is it more than half? Is it the majority? Is it two-thirds? But a lot of Auburn fans seem to have turned off to Hugh Freeze and decided that what I've thought for some time, I thought from the beginning, he was not the right guy for Auburn. And the way, people can say, look, you could spin things in either direction. You can say, well, they lost to two top 10 teams on the road. They were within a touchdown in each game. They had possessions in the fourth quarter to win the game. But when you peel back the onion and you start looking at the details, I think that's what's so distressing to so many people. The fact that Hugh Freeze's area of expertise is supposed to be offense. And it's the offense that's holding that team back this year. You know, those four possessions, they had one possession against Oklahoma after Oklahoma took the lead in the fourth quarter. They had the last possession in that game. And then they had three possessions in the fourth quarter at A&M where they could have taken the lead and won the game, despite the fact that they shouldn't have been in the game, and A&M gifted them so many opportunities. And on those four possessions, they had five sacks, 17 plays, five sacks, four incompletions, for a total of minus 9 yards on those 17 plays combined.
Yeah.
And then the A&M game was ugly all around. And then you combine that with the fact, and which compounds the problem, is that Jackson Arnold does not look like the answer. Mm-mm. He looks like the quarterback he was at Oklahoma. He's gun-shy at times, just will not release the ball, will not give his talented receivers a chance to go make a 50-50 catch. That's when he has time. And then too often he hasn't had time. And all of a sudden, because defensive coordinators in the SEC are a lot smarter than Dave Aranda, they're not sitting back in two high safeties and allowing Auburn to run the ball. And Jackson Arnold is discovering that those holes that opened up against Baylor that let him run for 15, 20, 25 yards a pop, they close up really fast in the SEC. So now again, we're five games into the season, and the quarterback doesn't look like he's the answer. The coach doesn't seem like he has any answers. The coach keeps saying things like, hey, we've got to run the ball more. And then in the first quarter, he said it after the Oklahoma game, and then in the Texas A&M game, they didn't give the ball to a tailback a single time in the first quarter and only gave the tailbacks eight carries the entire game. It's really head scratching, but I have sensed and heard from Auburn people that there's a definite turn away from Hugh Freeze in the fan base.
I mean, you don't think to the point. Their schedule eases up here in a few weeks, where they should put some wins together at the end of the year, hopefully for those guys. I mean, you're not talking like lose his job, right, this year? Or is that on the
I'm not saying that. No, yeah. I'm not. Well, at the end of the year, who knows? I'm not, but you've got people, and you have to consider social media. Sure. And anonymous faces on message boards, anonymous people on message boards saying, discussing a midseason firing, discussing him resigning and stepping down for health reasons. I haven't heard any of that from people that I think would know, but I will say he's on the shakiest ground he's been on since he's been there. I will say that for sure.
Yeah. That.
Is there a best team in the SEC? I phrase that a little bit different. Is there a best team? We always like to say who's the best team. Is there one?
Are they still?
There is. I'll answer. That's a really good question, Wimp, and I'll answer it this way. There is, but we just don't know who it is yet. That team has not identified itself. That team has not separated itself.
I wanted you to give me the answer to that because I couldn't give it to you.
Because you know which you know. Give me a game, and I can tell you that you know Georgia looked really good after falling behind against Tennessee. Alabama looked great in the first half at Georgia. Vanderbilt's looked great consistently, but they haven't played anybody. LSU's out of the mix. LSU is a mess. Texas, they haven't beaten. Did I see this right? That they haven't beaten a Power Four team yet, and we're in October.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we don't know what Texas is.
I think it's Georgia. Now, I know Barry doesn't like their quarterback. I do. I think they're fortunate against Tennessee. They make a bad decision. If you coach in hindsight, you kick the field goal and play Alabama in overtime. I think they're the best team. I think they're the most prepared team for every game they play. How good they are compared to the other teams in the Big Ten, I don't know much about it, but I think they're the best team.
I will say this. I think with a healthy John Mateer, Oklahoma's in the mix.
Yeah.
But we don't know when he's coming back. There have been hints that he's gonna be back for the Red River Shootout against Texas. That seems pretty quick. I don't know if that's even possible, but because I think Oklahoma's defense is legit. I think Alabama's in contention to be the best team. I don't think they are yet. I think they could be. And look, if you want to get down to who has the most talented rosters, from what I've seen, it's Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. What did that win do for Coach DeBoer and Ryan Grubb? You know, everybody was like, and then Ryan Grubb. You know, he had a. I mean, what were they, 13 for 18 or something on third down, 8 for 8 in the first half? Yeah. And then Coach Saban talked about, you know, Georgia's pretty complicated defensively on third down.
Yeah.
You know, he had some creative wrinkles to his offense there to get you first downs, to move the chains, to keep the ball, although they didn't score in the second half. They kind of controlled the ball there. What did that win do for those two?
Oh well, it was a huge boost, I think, for the confidence of the fan base in that combination.
Yeah,
and it showed why Kalen DeBoer was so successful at Washington with Ryan Grubb working alongside him. It showed why Nick Saban wanted to hire Ryan Grubb as his offensive coordinator a couple of years ago at Alabama, and maybe it showed why Alabama was so inconsistent on offense last year.
Yeah.
Because DeBoer and Grubb, they clearly finish each other's sentences. They understand each other. And that plan, as you said, that plan against Georgia, and Kirby is as keen a defensive mind as there is in college football and has been for some time. And they had him in a blender in the first half in particular. I don't know that I've ever – the 13 for 19 on third down was just – it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
How about the contrast? There, Alabama goes 13 for 19 on third down on Saturday. Auburn goes 0 for 13. So that's an offense. Again, there's an offensive head coach whose offense got it done in a big way. But the three long touchdown drives in the first half, two of them were 14 play drives. And maybe the most, that first drive, when Ryan Williams runs wide open, and Ty Simpson drops it right in his pocket, and he drops it. Now, a lot of teams on the road in that kind of environment, they're going to sag at that point. They're going to, oh, man, we should have had that. What does Alabama do? They keep driving. They go down and score a touchdown anyway. That was so impressive to me, the way they bounced back from that drop. And the way Ryan Williams bounced back from that drop told me something positive about him. So, yeah, that's. I think this is why – I think we discovered what all the fuss was about Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb as a combination of offensive strategists and play callers.
Yeah, you could Monday morning quarterback that game to death. I personally Would have kicked the field goal if I was Georgia. Just I've been behind the whole game, and I could get it tied. They went for it. If they make it, everybody's great. That's Monday morning quarterback. But I think Kirby, he takes responsibility. He's pretty good in the media now. He's not making excuses. He gives the credit where the credit's due. He gives it to Alabama. I don't Kirby handled the loss. Maybe he's used to it with Alabama, but I thought he handled it in a very professional manner, Kevin.
In every way that you would evaluate a head coach, he's the best in the country right now.
Yeah,
and that's part of it. How do you handle the media after a win? How do you handle it after a loss? And he gives explanations. You know, I always thought Nick Saban was the best coach I've ever been around that really explained what was happening or why something happened with good detail. And Kirby takes a similar approach. And you know, he explained if they got anything on third down, they were going to go for it on fourth down. Now, what I would take issue with, and I thought he should have kicked the field goal too, to at least force Alabama to score again, which they hadn't done in the second half, even though they had moved the ball some, was after the third down carry by Gunnar Stockton. That was really close to the line. I don't know if Kirby could. I think he could have called for a measurement.
Yeah.
I think he should have called for a measurement. That way you get a little extra time to think about your fourth down call or if you want to go for it on fourth down. And I'm not so sure he didn't make it on third down from some of the video that I've seen. So that's the one thing I thought where he missed an opportunity is make them take a measurement and see if he got it and see how close he was. And again, you can kind of give yourself a few seconds to breathe and think further on whether you want to kick the field goal or go for it if it is short.
Yeah, that.
If firing the defensive people at Arkansas is the correct thing, and the other if is they win some games, if you're the athletic director, do you give the job to Bobby?
Well, look, from the outside, I would say hell no. I don't know why they let him back in the house in the first place. The way he embarrassed that place all those years ago, it was almost like you could see this coming the day that they hired him as offensive coordinator, that at some point they weren't going to win enough games, especially in this NIL era, and you got the AD out there saying they don't have the resources to compete, which I thought was comical. After he fires Sam Pittman, he says, Hunter Yurecek says, well, he didn't have the resources to compete. Well, whose responsibility is it to provide the head coach with the resources he needs to compete? Seems like that would be the athletic directors. Maybe they fired the wrong person. I don't know. But, you know, Petrino, he should be nowhere near the head coaching position at any college. Not just Arkansas. He's left a number of programs in wreckage in his career, his star-crossed career. So, so that's my answer. But obviously the fact that they brought him back, obviously the fact that they made him the interim head coach, and obviously the fact that in the statement they said he wants to be considered and will be considered for the permanent head coaching position tells me they are setting this up, if he has any kind of success the rest of the season, for him to be the regular head coach again, or the take the interim tag off.
Great.
And you know, it's funny, and I've written this and I've talked about it on Twitter. I said it on my podcast. It is eerie that three different Auburn coaches since 2008 have been helped toward the exit in their last seasons after losing to Arkansas. Tuberville in 08 lost to Petrino in Arkansas, and that was Tuberville's last year. Chizik in 2012 lost to John L. Smith, of all people, the interim coach then at Arkansas, because that was after Petrino's motorcycle accident. And they had to bring in somebody for 1 year. And Chizik loses to Arkansas, and then eventually he's fired that year. And then the last game that Brian Harsin coached at Auburn was a loss to Arkansas. And then who does Auburn play on October 25th? Arkansas in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Can't script these things, guys.
You know, that guy from Memphis punching that ball out, I think
Yeah.
Pittman's still there. Now, whether he'd have survived the season, I don't know. But that one play, losing to, I mean, they're just trying to get the ball to the center of the field to kick the field goal to win the game. And the guy gets it punched out. I think that play right there got him fired during the season, Kevin. I mean, it comes down to like one or two plays, and these guys' career can end just off of that. Now, he was on shaky ground. I get it. But I don't think they would have done anything after losing to Notre Dame if they beat Memphis.
No, if you boil it down, yeah, that loss to Memphis hurts a lot more than a loss by any number of points against Notre Dame. They can't. You're Arkansas. You don't think you should lose to Memphis, and you shouldn't lose to Memphis. Although Memphis has a very good program, and they've been consistently successful, but they're not in the SEC, and you should not lose to those guys. But again, when you're on the hot seat, don't give the administration and the boosters a reason. Don't give them a reason to push you out the door. And he gave them a reason, and they did.
If you're Kalen DeBoer, and I understand this has nothing to do with why he's dropping balls, but would you tell Ryan Williams, hey, look, don't carry the stuffed animal into the stadium with you? You just give people more things just try to get the attention off yourself a little bit. Don't do things that are going to draw attention to yourself. Now, I'm not saying carrying a stuffed animal has anything to do with how he's playing, and he might look at you crazy about that. But what's happening with Ryan? Is he just misfortune? He just dropped a few balls, and he did make a couple big catches there, but he's probably right now the third or fourth best receiver on this team, which is probably a good thing for Alabama. I mean, that kid from Miami, he looked really good. 17 looks very good. And Jeremy Bernard may be their best player on offense. What do you do with Ryan Williams right now? You got a block.
Well, he's an asset. There's no doubt. Absolutely. Because he's a playmaker. And like I said, he did bounce back from that drop, and he made a couple of tough catches, took a couple of big hits. His blocking certainly needs improvement. But think about last year when they put so much on him.
Yeah.
And defenses adjusted to him as the season went on. And now Jeremy Bernard looks like an NFL receiver out there. Isaiah Horton and Ty Simpson seem to be on real. I mean, not maybe a little more than even Jeremy Bernard. They seem to really be on the same page. And Ty Simpson relies on him and trusts him. He also trusts Jeremy Bernard. Their wide receiver room is ridiculous. What's really impressive is that Ty Simpson is distributing the ball to all of them and the tight ends, and having Jam Miller back, not just to run the ball, but to pass block and pass protect was important on Saturday. And you saw a difference there. So Ryan Williams, I don't know, the extraneous stuff that, as you said, it probably doesn't have anything to do with what he does on the field, but my suggestion would be to say to him, look, let people notice you for your play. Let people talk about you for your play. Not the extraneous stuff, not the stuff off the field, not the little characteristics that, you have, or the little things you like to do. That would be my suggestion. But at this point, I don't think you could say, look, just stop doing it. I think that's not Kalen DeBoer's personality. I don't think that's his style or his approach. And if it were, that he would never have done it in the first place.
Yeah.
So, but Ryan Williams obviously has to improve. He's got to improve his concentration, because that's the kind of play that can cost you a game. And fortunately for Alabama, like I said, it didn't even cost them a touchdown, because they kept their mind on their business and drove right down and scored anyway, which again says a lot about that offense. That they don't have to have Ryan Williams be the focal point to be very successful.
All right, this is one of your streaks, Kevin. When I in the middle on something, I like to ask you, because you can usually give me an argument as to why I should believe something. This question's out of left field right here, but Henry Ruggs. I mean, when I hear Coach Saban talk about what a good guy Henry Ruggs was, now he made it. Terrible mistake, terrible. literally like 10 seconds changed his completely. Everything he had done his entire life is totally changed. He's up to get out next year. Should the NFL let him have a tryout and let him, if he's good enough, let him play? If I were him, I would take maybe half my salary or whatever I make and give it to the family of the girl who I passed away or whatever. But he's made a mistake. I mean, when they said, well, he can work here, but he can't work in the NFL, and I don't know what to think about it. You have any thought on that?
Well, I mean, my baseline thought on any situation is that all of us deserve redemption or a chance at redemption. All of us don't make the kind of life-altering, life-ending mistake, sadly, that Henry Ruggs made. But if the legal system does let him out on, what would he be, paroled, I guess?
Yeah.
You know, he'd be let out on parole. You know, I don't see why. And look, given the history of all sports at every level, if he is free and clear to, you know, work wherever, that someone wouldn't give him a chance. I don't think that the NFL should blanketly prohibit him from playing NFL football again. Now, that will be up to an individual franchise to say, okay, we're going to give this guy an opportunity. We're not going to pay him an obscene amount of money. We're going to make him earn it. And as you said, he needs to spend the rest of his life doing things to help that family, whatever that may be, and to help others, to be a spokesperson, to talk about the dangers of drinking and driving, and to speak to schools, to record public service announcements, advertisements, you know, and do everything he can to try to prevent someone else from making the same mistake he made. I don't think it's productive to society to say the thing that you do best, you can no longer do if you're a free man.
Yeah. Good answer. All right.
Do they lean on Nick Saban as to who is going to be the guest picker Saturday?
I'm sure they would ask him suggestions. Have they announced that yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. They haven't really done very well, and no offense about anybody who's been the guest picker at Alabama. They haven't really done a great job of choosing interesting guest pickers for games in Tuscaloosa. Yeah,
they'll get somebody that has absolutely nothing to do with Alabama, which I've never understood.
I think they need Wimp Sanderson out there.
There you go.
To give them a blue plate special.
That's the three. You're the third person voting for that today. All right, Kevin, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter/X at Kevin Skarbinski. You can keep up with my columns every week in the Birmingham News. You can find those on AL.com. And my new podcast on YouTube, it's Kevin Skarbinski-Scarbo Knows.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Have a great week.
All right. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure-Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. This is Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama Sports.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC, W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 195. That's 195. The code is 195.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers won their wild card opener in L.A. over the Reds 10-5, hitting five home runs, two from Shohei Ohtani, including one leading off the game. Teoscar Hernandez with two round trippers. Blake Snell got the win for L.A., seven innings of work, nine strikeouts. The Cubs took game one of their best of three, 3-1 over San Diego. The Cubbies hit back-to-back homers in the fifth. Boston beat the Yankees in New York 3-1. The Red Sox took the lead in the seventh on a two-run pinch single. Garrett Crochet Boucher, the winning pitcher, struck out 11 in his 7 2/3 innings. Detroit's Tarek Skubal got the win at Cleveland 2-1 with 14 strikeouts in 7 2/3. Detroit scored 2 unearned runs. Angels manager Ron Washington will not return next season. Cardinals manager Ole Marmol will return. And the WNBA semifinals ended with Las Vegas getting a Game 5 win in overtime against Indiana.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. 43 is now bumper to bumper slow on the southbound lanes to McFarland. So you got a red line back to Flatwoods Road. And speaking of red line, definitely starting to get a lot more heavy on 69 southbound onto McFarland. And then on Lurleen Wallace.
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker. We'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Talk a little Tuscaloosa Toyota with Justin Troll. Good morning, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing great. I hope you guys are doing well.
We're good. Tell us what's happening at Tuscaloosa Toyota. Should be a great week. A lot of people coming in for the weekend. They want to swing by Friday and check everything out you guys got. Tell everybody what's going on.
Well, let's clear up a few things real quick that we talked about last week. So your dad came by Apple CarPlay.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming that you hadn't heard the report yet, right?
I have not.
Yeah. The technical, tell him, Wimp, the technical side of it, we can also do technical stuff. So his USB cord had bit the dust.
Yeah.
And so I got him a new one, and he is rocking and rolling. So he has no issues moving forward when it comes to the Apple CarPlay.
Do you just have a couple extra in your drawer? How did you do that, Justin?
Well, I have a couple, and I gave him one, so it's all good.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So hey, Justin, I want to thank you for that. It was great. I appreciate it. Times when you put – let me ask you this question. This is a good question, I think. I've been asked this before. Is there times, you know, the kind of car I've got, when you put it in reverse, it doesn't go in reverse right then, you have to take it back to drive and then push it back to reverse again? Is that a big deal?
I'm not. A lot of it depends on the brake sensitivity and stuff. So, you know, and that car sends out waves when it's in reverse to let people know because it's so quiet. You know, sometimes those things are so quiet that you get out of it, you don't turn the car off, and you go watch a ball game, you know, so those things are quiet. So
I've only done that one time, and I caught the devil for it.
So, Justin, you tell me he knows how to do Apple Play now. Everything's good with that. So any problem, he can call you. He can call you, right?
Yeah, hey, service after the sale.
Day or night.
That's right. I ain't calling nobody.
You better answer that phone, Justin, when he starts dialing you up.
And the other thing would be, and we get into this later, is did I not say we were going into, you told me to take my crimson colored glasses off, but I did tell you, Barry, what was going to happen Saturday, and I think Alabama played really well, so. Pretty proud would be an understatement. And all the radio shows having a good week because of it.
Yeah, I picked Georgia, so I was glad to be wrong. I thought Alabama, you could tell that first drive, like, ooh. And they did that against Florida State, but seemed like it had a different focus out there. And then they got to take that into this weekend. Hopefully they will. But they were very impressive to go into Athens and do that, Justin.
Yeah. You know, and at Tuscaloosa Toyota, like I told you last week, it's the process is kind of the same. You can't say, hey, like we did another 300 this past month. And for September, that is, I just tell you that is unbelievable for the month of September. That's going to double up, triple up. I mean, businesses and stores don't do that kind of volume. I mean, and it's the process. And so we can't get all happy, you know, and live on September because it's October, and we've got a lot going on at Tuscaloosa Toyota this month with 25 closeouts, 26 models coming in, just a ton of stuff going on at our tire sale. Buy three. It's October, April and October. Buy three, get one for a dollar. You know, there's just so much going on right now. And I'll tell you, man, we're ST Buns out there paving the parking lot. So you can imagine with as many vehicles that we're selling, servicing 150 a day, what kind of deal that we are dealing with right now. But we weathered the storm this last week with that going on. They're going to be there another week. But if you do come out to Tuscaloosa Toyota, just be understanding of what's going on out there. And we're doing everything we can do to get the customer taken care of.
Yeah, I sent you a message, Nolan, we got from Tennessee. You guys sold a car, too.
Yeah.
And I want you to explain this to the listener, because this is what the guy that bought it, he liked listening to you on this segment. So he took care of a lot of things, drove down, got the car. But he said the big selling point for me, besides Wimp and Barry, was the included lifetime powertrain warranty. Explain that to the listener, Justin.
Well, you know, like I told you, there's no gimmicks out there with us. So the process is real easy and straightforward, and it starts online at TuscaloosaToyota.com so you can get the process started. But, you know, the lifetime warranty is just what it is. It's a true warranty. It's not a loyalty program. We don't force you somewhere or another to come and do service with us. To keep that warranty allows you to service it wherever you want to. You know, and so that what happens is, take, for instance, an example. Yesterday, I'm selling a Lexus RX 350. And we put a lifetime warranty on that car, even though it's used. It's a 21 model, 53,000 miles on it. And their powertrain warranty at Lexus is 6 year, 70,000 miles. So your warranty on the powertrain will run for 6 years, 70,000 miles. And then when that warranty concludes, we take that warranty and mirror it. We mirror that warranty for unlimited miles, unlimited time, you know, and so that car is covered for the life of the car. So a lifetime warranty, unlimited miles, unlimited time, and it's on our new cars and used cars at Tuscaloosa Toyota.
Yeah, it's nice. All right, you guys, normal hours this weekend, or what do we got this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's a big game in town and game day and all that kind of stuff. So there'll be a lot of traffic and, you know, a lot of people will be trying to get in today and tomorrow to and Friday to get everything done, you know, before Saturday. So, but normal business hours for us. And, you know, we look forward to serving you. And it starts right there where we talk about every week, right there at the website, you know, TuscaloosaToyota.com.
All right, Justin, have a great week. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Justin.
Man, we'll talk next week. Good talking to y'all.
Thank you. All right, there's Justin. He's got all the Apple Play stuff fixed and ready to go, Chase. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. You can put that to bed. All right, we'll get to Bill Cameron when we get back with the Auburn Report. We've been talking about Auburn a lot today, not even Alabama. Give us a Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We continue to move a little on the slower side for your rush to work this morning. Traveling up in Northport, 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. You got a long red line of brake lights taking you well past Charlie Shirley Road.
Game. The Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes. Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Kaneka Sausage, a true Southern flavor since 1947. Order online at KanekaSausage.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Tuesday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we were joined by Alabama wide receiver Rico Scott.
We have every type of receiver, you know. Even though we're players playing together, we learn from each other, you know, just film and in practice. Like, if one guy's doing something great, it's like, okay, maybe I can add this to my game, da-da-da. You know what I mean? Like, we just have every type of receiver, and we're a pretty tight room, you know. Like, we all understand that. I mean, pretty much everybody could be playing anywhere in the country right now, but we all chose to come here. Coach DeBoer, I honestly feel like even him being a coach, like, I can just see him getting better as a coach. You know what I mean? He's creating new relationships with players every day. Like, he's done a great job at transitioning, because it's hard for him, too. I mean, he's coming to a new school, a new league. You know what I mean? High expectations coming from Coach Saban. I got a lot of respect for DeBoer.
I'll have more in a moment.
Hello, Tide fans. This is Chris Stewart for Kaneka Sausage. Kaneka's an Alabama fan favorite we all know and love. It's made from the finest cuts of pork, their patented blend of seasonings, and smoked over a pure hickory fire for that true hickory smoked southern flavor. Kaneka Sausage is always great on the grill and perfect for tailgating. Pick up a pack and enjoy your family's favorite recipes at any meal of the day. Kaneka Sausage, a game day tradition, and the official smoked sausage of the Crimson Tide.
Join us tonight for Hey Coach and the Kalen DeBoer Show, presented by Alpha Insurance, live at Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Tuscaloosa at 6 p.m. You can listen to Hey Coach on our full radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as a video stream on all Alabama Athletics social media platforms. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Kaneka Sausage. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the locker room, get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's with ESPN 106.7, The Drive, down in Auburn, Opelika, every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Bill Cameron. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Guys, doing all right. A little bit hoarse, but doing fine.
You've been yelling at the offense, Bill?
I don't know what it is. I think it may be some allergies, a little sinus. That's about it.
Yeah.
But there've been plenty of people yelling at the offense.
Talk to me about this offense, Coach Freeze. There's, you know, rumors going around he may not coach the game against Georgia. I don't know what that's all about, but
what's going on
with all that, Bill?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just I think frustration and just folks trying to figure what the heck is going on, because I mean it is very perplexing, the problems that Auburn's had offensively. I mean, normally, I mean, you'd look at it and go, sure, it's disappointing, but you've lost two games on the road to top 10 teams by less than a touchdown. That shouldn't be the kind of thing that gets you, completely down. But it's the way they've done it, and the most head scratching thing is that Hugh Freeze has been talking about, after the Oklahoma game. Yes, we need to run the ball more, and then they ran it less against the Texas A&M team that has had some trouble stopping the run. So that's been the most perplexing thing. But yeah, I mean, this was a week that was already scheduled. I think part of the rumblings and things like that were for Auburn's coaches show. We were talking with Andy Burcham yesterday, and this was planned all year long, that this was going to be a week where they had the coordinators, where Hugh Freeze was not on there, and there's no media access because there's no practice this week. So I think a lot of people are just thinking, there must be something wrong, and as far as I know, that's nothing but rumor and speculation about Hugh now. But that being said, This Georgia ball game coming up next week is critical. I mean, if Auburn goes out and plays as poorly offensively as they've played the last couple of weeks, it's hard to imagine anybody really being supportive and expecting there to be a turnaround for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that.
I hate to change subjects, but is Bruce Pearl going to have anything to do? Is he going to get in television? You don't get up every morning at 8 o'clock after about a week and decide what I'm going to do today. Does he have television? Is that what's going on there?
I haven't seen anything specifically, but I mean, I would sure think that that opportunity is going to be there, and that'll still allow him to be around, be around Auburn and be around his family and his grandkids and things a lot. So, there hadn't been any announcement, but that's just a natural next step. I mean, he's comfortable. He's done it before, and he sure wouldn't have a problem doing that. So, yeah, I would expect so.
It's going back to football. It's kind of ironic. They brought the quarterback from Oklahoma. Everybody talked about these receivers, which they are good, man. Ooh, those receivers are good. And Auburn was going to be so good offensively. But, man, DJ Durkin and his defense over there, I mean, to hold A&M to 16 points is pretty impressive. They only get three in the second half. So I don't know that Auburn's as far away maybe as people think. I mean, they didn't play well the second half offensively, but they've lost to two top 10 teams on the road. You got Georgia coming. But you got a week off. It's going to be a night game down there. If you somehow get that one, schedule starts to ease up just a little bit. So they just got to kind of weather the storm here, Bill. We could be looking at this thing differently here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, that's why I said it all really depends on this Georgia game. And they've got to get something going offensively. I mean, they have been close, and the defense has played really well. But, I mean, the offense, I mean, now you look at it, and Auburn's at the bottom of the SEC in just about every offensive category. And it's not because they don't have any talent. You mentioned the receivers. I think Auburn's got pretty good running backs. The crazy thing I thought about this past week is that they just didn't run it. Running back didn't touch a ball in the first quarter, and there were only 8 carries combined for the running backs, and 4 of those 8 came in situations where it was 15 yards or more to go. So it was almost like, draw plays to get you out of poor field position and give your punter a little more room were half the running plays. I mean, Auburn's averaging better than 4.5 yards a rush, even in SEC play in those 2 losses, but they've only run the ball a combined 21 times in 2 games. So that's the thing nobody can understand, because Auburn ran all over Baylor, and they've run the ball when they've had the opportunity. They just haven't been able to do it. And then the passing game, it doesn't resemble the passing game you saw against Ball State, where they got the ball out quickly. Auburn seems to, I mean, it's as though, Hugh Freeze wants to run those slow-developing straight drop back, and look over the whole field to be able to try to throw the ball downfield, and the offensive line has just not held up in these 2 road games.
Yeah. That.
I can't think of anything else. How's the recruiting coming along as far as, let's say they get by this year with 7 wins or 8 wins and skim under there, no firings. How's the recruiting come along?
It's been good. I mean, it hasn't been great to this point. I mean, I think Auburn's a top 20 class right now. They need to get a little bit better than that, but they need to get things turned around. I mean, look, if there are questions, if Auburn just, as you said, gets by with 7 wins, there's going to be a lot of speculation wondering, how long is this going to last? How long will Hugh have that kind of support? That's not going to help. That's not going to help with recruiting. It's not going to help with retention. So, the rest of the season, again, starting with that Georgia game, the schedule looked a little more manageable early on, but I mean, Missouri, Vandy, those don't look like easy ball games now. And who knows what Arkansas is going to be by the time Auburn gets out there. So there's still quite a bit of work to be done. Again, Auburn's got the talent to get it done. The question is, will Hugh Freeze be able to make those changes and sort of go against the style that he's had through the years? Because that's one thing. I mean, you wonder about now, is it has that RPO sort of past its prime? Auburn's so reliant on that, and running more of a reactive type offense, whereas you really need to be aggressive, and that's something that Auburn really hasn't been offensively.
I mean, do they need to give Deuce Knight a chance?
I don't know if it's the quarterback. I don't know if it's the quarterback, but
I'm not saying a couple series. Just let him get out there.
Well, we haven't even seen Ashton Daniels, the Stanford transfer, either. Yeah. And I know they wanted to redshirt him, but, I mean, you've got to get things turned around. If Auburn beats Georgia, they're 4-2, they're probably going to move into the top. They'd probably move into the top 25 if they beat Georgia at home. But they've got to do something maybe to get a little bit of spark. They've got that extra time. So, I don't know, Barry. I mean, it might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. Wow. Things change in the SEC as far as how people feel. Back to that weekend, Alabama loses to Florida State, Auburn beats Baylor, and it's, and then all of a sudden now this week, past weekend, Alabama goes to Georgia, which nobody thought that would happen. Auburn is not playing well. Everything changes week to week, doesn't it, Bill?
God, it really does. I mean, and this league, I mean, again, we've talked about it. I think you look up and down, and there's at least 10 teams, I think, that could beat any of the other 9 teams that you might put there at the top of the league. I think it's that balanced and that deep this year. So, I mean, a whole lot of difference in the road and home as well. So, I mean, that's why last week was a huge win for Alabama on the road. Auburn, has come up short. But there are going to be other teams that are going to Norman and College Station and lose.
Yeah.
Who do you like as the best team in the league right now?
I think Alabama looked like it the other day. I'm still waiting to see if Texas going to get better. I'd had questions about LSU. Their defense is better this year, but their offense is not. So I think this week, I'd say if Alabama plays like they did, they limit mistakes. Don't beat themselves. Alabama's as good or better than anybody.
You know, prior to the season, nobody thought much of Ty Simpson. I'm not sure so far, Bill, 4 games in, he's not the best quarterback in the SEC. He may be playing the best right now with Mateer out. Ty Simpson, he's played well, hadn't he?
He really has. And, I said as much yesterday. He and then a guy that nobody talks about in the school, nobody thinks about, Bo Prabula at Missouri. But, it'll be a while before they go on the road.
Yeah. Well, he's got to weather the storm. So that's going to be a night game down there against Georgia. It was announced yesterday, Bill?
Yeah. I mean, it's been set as a night game for a while. We just don't know the start time. Is it going to be 6:30 or 6:45? So that'll make for a great atmosphere. And Auburn hadn't beaten Georgia since the regular season of 2017. So, I mean, if they could do that, then that'll change the way a lot of people are feeling. But it's a long 2 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Bill, tell everybody where they can find you. Get your great show down there.
Yes, The Drive every afternoon on ESPN 106.7. You can check us online at radioalabama.net, or you can go to ESPNAU.com, join us live, or go to those sites, and you can download the podcast.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great week.
All right, there's Bill Cameron, ESPN 106.7, The Drive. All right, Chase. All right, Dad, let's talk about Bryant Bank before we get to bank.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank for the community, no doubt about it, and also an outstanding bank for you. So personal and business accounts can be set up for you, and your money, the biggest thing I say every time, your money's going to be safe. They're going to take darn good care of it, and then you can bank online around the clock. So go by Bryant Bank,
visit with them. They'll know you the second time, and they may know you the first time. And they'll be interested in you, and they'll be interested in the things around you, which is darn important. They like the schools. They've done a great job throughout the state of Alabama. Bryant Bank and Inside the Locker Room go together, and we recommend them.
All right, we'll get back. We'll get that vinegar tip for this Wednesday. So I'm sure it's going to be a great tip there. We'll also kind of peek around some of these games, see maybe where we're thinking about the blue plate, 4-3 in the blue plate. So also phone lines could be open, 205-342-9904. You're listening to Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Chase.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We continue to move a little on the slower side for your rush to work this morning. Traveling up in Northport, 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. You got a long red line of brake lights taking you well past Charlie Shirley Road. And we also...
Or call 800-550-9219. That's 800-550-9219. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content. On your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. You know what that means, the vinegar tip for this Wednesday, brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. You're looking for home, life, auto, whatever you need insurance-wise, Mike is the guy. 205-752-8500. All right, what is the tip for this Wednesday?
Well, I don't know if you realize this or not, but the worst stains on anything that you have in the house is caused by red foods. Red wine, grape juice, cranberries, holiday punch, things like that are hard to get up. And so a lot of you goobers are drinking wine during the holidays, and we need to get stopped if you're going to spill it on the carpet. I had that happen to me with one of my buddies in Little Rock. So here's what you do. Try to blot the stain with a quarter teaspoon of fresh dishwashing detergent. Now listen to me. Dot it, spot it just a little bit with washing detergent and mix it with a cup of warm water. Now, I hadn't even mentioned vinegar yet.
Yeah, I was about to say, and it's a vinegar tip?
Yeah, if that doesn't do the trick, here's what you do. This is where the vinegar comes into play. Now, ladies, this is good. Men, too, in case you don't get in trouble with your wife. Mix 2 tablespoonfuls of ammonia with 1 cup of water and blot the stain. Then if that doesn't work, the treatment, you rinse away the residue, then you start using 1 part of white vinegar to 2 parts of water and finish with a rinse of plain warm water. Now, I've told this a long way, but the vinegar and the water...
Why don't you just go right to the vinegar from the beginning?
Well, the other thing you can do if you're in real trouble, if you spill it on the carpet, is get you a rug and put over it so she won't see it.
or if it's
in the corner, get your scissors and cut it off when it won't see it. I was with a guy that gave me a car in Little Rock, Joe, what's his name? And he spilled it all over. His wife had it, and it didn't say anything. He spilled it all over our carpet. That's the best way to do it. Now you go at warm water and go get you some ammonia and scrub it good with that, and then go with the vinegar. And if that won't work, you better say, "Honey, I will go and get you a brand new carpet." And she will say,
I want one a lot better than this one.
Yeah, this carpet stains too easy.
I saw one last week, and it's really, really nice. It's about twice the price of this one. And you say, honey, I don't think I can afford it. Just get the vinegar out.
So, or if you want a new carpet, just spill some.
Yeah.
You know, just right. Go ahead and spill some wine on there try to rub it with some water.
It's according to the temperament of your wife.
We need a carpet sponsor. We can get you some new carpet.
It's the temperament of your wife.
If you want us if you want us to sponsor your carpet.
Do what Barry said.
Yeah. Jenny wants some new carpet, too. I need some new carpet. So we'll put that upstairs.
Jenny would jump up and down and start screaming, and Barry would get new carpet. Yeah,
maybe let Jenny, Miss Mimi, spill some wine on the carpet. That's what Jenny's going to have her do. So that's brought to you by Michael McGuire. See what you're paying for, Michael. I tell you this every day.
Red
wine.
Yeah.
You ain't getting that up. All right. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. You switch all your insurance over there to him, he'll give you some vinegar. All right. Get to the Yellowwood Highline. What's up, Cowboy?
Hey, Cowboy. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine.
You
if
get,
we spill
you
one.
Get a vinegar tip?
Yeah, I got another one for you. I heard you talking about yesterday. You know, if your grandkids or your kids go to the beach and they get caught up in some jellyfish thing, vinegar is good to put in the bathtub with kind of cold water, and you sit in it, it'll take that sting of those jellyfish out. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Hey, I'm glad I can help on that vinegar tip. At least I'm giving you something, I guess.
Yeah, because right now, Coach DeBoer is making you look bad.
That's okay. We still got 8 games to go, and I'm just gonna sit back and watch. You know.
Yeah.
You know, there's still 8 games to go. It's like the NFL.
Now let me ask you this, Cowboy. Let me ask you this.
Ask you if Vanderbilt were to win.
Do you want Alabama to lose so you can be right?
That's not a legitimate question.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
So you can say, I told you so. Is that what you want to happen?
You just let what happens happens, you know.
But then you'll say, I told you so. And then if they win, you just want to say, I'm going to keep watching to see what happens. Like you're waiting for the shoe to drop. Is that how you say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not a believer.
Yeah.
You're not a believer.
I don't know. You know, they had a good deal the other day, so you can leave it.
I have a guy that's just like you. He's just like you. I love you, Cowboy. And Saturday night, he was screaming he loved the boy. I'm like, wait a minute. You didn't like him, but he was all praising the boy and praising Ryan Grubb. But it's 1 week to the next, isn't it, Cowboy? What have you done for me lately?
That's right. You know, I want somebody to help me figure out. I've talked to a friend of mine that lives in Atlanta that listens to y'all show. Why can Kalen DeBoer jump Kirby Smart? He's 2-0 against him. Dan Lanning, he's 3-0 against him. And Steve Sarkisian, he's 2-0 against him. And he gets up a big lead on him, then hangs on. But what do these coaches that are considered bozos do that beats him, but these guys that are considered elite coaches can't beat him? He kind of gets them in that NAIA game where he learned his football. And, you know, they're the Nick Saban guys, he's kicking their butt. But just the guys that aren't from the school of Nick Saban, they're whipping him.
So Vanderbilt's gonna win.
I didn't say that, but you I do look now. I don't know if you guys remember. I don't see how Vanderbilt can come do this 2 years in a row. But I will say this: Vanderbilt's principles are built. You remember, Coach, when Pittsburgh State beat the heck out of Bill Burgess and Jacksonville State in the late 80s, early 90s, in those Division II championship games?
No.
I'm an astute follower of football.
I know you are.
Jerry Kill and Beck, the offensive coordinator, are the secret sauce to Vanderbilt, and they both cut their teeth in that Dennis Franchione, Gary Patterson, and that Broyles coach that was famous at Pittsburgh's philosophy. And Kill went to Auburn 2 years ago with Diego Cavia and beat them with New Mexico State, if y'all remember.
Yeah.
And Kill came back last year and Cavia beat Auburn again with all the pressure on him. So the kid feels no pressure.
Mm-mm. Pavia's good.
I'm just saying that there's some kind of secret sauce, you know, but I think if Kill and Beck were to leave Vanderbilt, because Kill's kind of guy that would go to Mexico or go drink tequila and just give up coaching and then come back a year later kind of guy. You know, he had that epilepsy problem at Minnesota and had to give up the job. He was doing a good job there. He's always wanted where he was like Gary Patterson's best man, and Gary Patterson was his best man in the wedding. So, you know, he's got some toughness cut in him. And I don't know, but I'm just saying that it's not all Clark Lee. Clark Lee had the fortitude to try to hire those guys, but those guys is what brought that new attitude.
Well, you try to hire guys that can make you better, right? That's the objective.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Jerry Kill, you don't know from year to year if he's going to stay in coaching or give it up. What I'm trying to say.
As long as Diego Pavia, maybe he'll sue the NCAA again and get another year.
Some guys have played 7 years. Maybe he can get that one.
Vanderbilt deserves it. They deserve to get another year with him. So
don't we play Vanderbilt next year?
I
think we do. I don't remember. That new schedule is kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'll tell you who's maybe getting it together, and they're going to come back on Alabama's schedule at a good time for them is Mississippi State. You know, they look like they turned the worm a little bit. But, we'll see when it adds up at the end of the year. But
there you go.
You know, heck, Alabama road game at Mississippi State's not bad for fans. You can go to Mississippi State and get back to Birmingham quicker than you probably could from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham after an Alabama home football game.
It's good for the budget. It's good for the budget, too.
Yeah.
Easy trip.
Yeah, so.
All right, Cowboy.
Yeah. What y'all think? Y'all had some good talk about Hugh Freeze and Auburn. I don't know what their problem is. Their offensive line looks like it can't hold up in the pressure.
Man, they got three guys calling plays.
That's right.
Nick's
his first down. Freeze is second, and
no, Freeze
third,
only calls
right?
the ones that work. He calls the one, whatever ones work, that's the one he calls.
he didn't call any plays against Maryland California. In that bowl game.
Yeah, he called that play against Cal that won it for him. So, all right, Cowboy. Thank you, sir.
Y'all be good.
All right, Bryce, keep holding. We'll get to you when we get back from break. You can have the rest of the show. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough, Bama 247 Sports, and we will continue with a Southern Ale House score prediction day, Alabama Vanderbilt, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, things are still just a little on the patchier side. If you're traveling on 15th Street, that is in both directions between McFarland and Lurline Wallace. So no alarms there. It's just on and off those brakes very briefly. And starting to thin out quite nicely.
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
On track two is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. A small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 88. The low tonight, 63. Tomorrow and Friday, sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The Precision Power and Performance, Brian Hart Construction, has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. Give them a call today, 205-759-1337, or go to Brian Harden, CONST.com. All right, get to the Brian Harden hotline here. What's up, Bryce?
Hey, Bryce.
Well, you know, Cowboys stole my thunder, guys, so I'm going to have to back up and punt. This thing about Johnny Manziel, when's the last time you heard anything about Johnny Manziel?
He's all over. He's all over TikTok his little podcast stuff that he does now.
I know is he's trying to get his name back relative, so he's jumping on this bandwagon with Padre. If anybody has anything to do with letting anybody into the boxing, I ain't letting him in.
You ain't letting him in?
No, because he can't be one of your most favorite people. I mean, Bin Laden's probably more favorite down there than he is. That's what they think about this guy.
Well, this plays two dimes on the strip. They're going to have Johnny over there, Johnny Football.
Well, two dimes on the strip are just trying to sell some drinks.
Well, they're saying people don't want to go because he's going to be there. I think it's going to make people go to see Johnny.
Yeah, somebody want to bust him in the mouth, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough about that idiot. I'm not going to give him that much airtime. Anyway, Cowboy stole my thunder. I had a trivia question for y'all, but he stole my thunder on the trivia question. But the Arkansas job, it's Gus Malzahn's to turn down. That's all I'm saying.
All right. We'll see. Time will tell.
He starts at the front.
Gus Bus?
Another thing, guys, remember me telling you I was rooting for Auburn to win 8 games?
Yeah.
It's getting pretty shaky on that deal. They are not going into Athens and beating.
Yeah, they're not. You're right, because the game's in Auburn.
Oh, it's at Auburn?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, that changes things.
you're right. They're not going into Athens and winning. I will assure you that this year, but they got them in Auburn. All right, thank you, Bryce. Appreciate you, sir.
I don't see them losing another game.
Who?
Alabama and them are meeting at the SEC championship.
Who? Alabama and who?
Georgia.
Sounds good. Thank you, Bryce.
There'll be a second game. Thanks, guys. I appreciate y'all letting
me
talk.
All right. That's it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next. I got to get Gary to help me with the trivia question because Thomas Rimshack's giving out 2 slabs, pound of pork, bunch of sides, peach cobbler, and sweet tea tomorrow on our show. So we got to get a good trivia question for that. So stay tuned tomorrow. So we've got Bill Curry will be with us tomorrow after JC. So it should be a good day. And Reese Davis will be with us on Friday. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.